Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We call this program Baltimore Positive. We're going to do some football in this segment. Before we do that, we're going to talk about our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with GBMC and Farnan and Dermer. This is a bowling shirt. I mean, I kind of look like the dude a little bit with this thing here, but they are the comfort guys. They put us on the road for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be back out doing the Maryland Treasures later on in the month. You have a full schedule ahead, I promise you. Crab cakes are ahead, as well as some crabs over Costas in Dundalk. We're going to be back at Pizza John's later on in the month, where they also have a crab cake. And I haven't had a crinkle cut French fry ever since I got that GBMC blood report back. So I certainly haven't had any gravy on my French fries either. So hoping to change that here in July as I skinny up and healthy up. This guy is getting ready for a vacation. All-Star game, by the way. I'm going to be up in Philadelphia representing WNSG, AM 1570 in Philadelphia. Luke's going to be on vacation. The Orioles are around this week, but I want to talk football with you, Luke. I know we haven't talked in a couple of weeks and minicamp, and nobody's been arrested yet. We know if you're on the WNST text service, you'll get all that sort of stuff first. But I would think the WNST text service is on a little bit of a hiatus here the next couple of weeks for the Purple. It's quiet, everybody's away. But in 1 month, pads are out, and Lord knows where the Orioles are headed right now, that it will be a very refreshing thing, even if we hope it's not 103 like it is today, out in Owings Mills. But, I know you're looking forward to it because the Orioles have already made me drop an F-bomb once today.
Well, we're a month out. We're literally a month out, or depending on when you're listening to us, maybe a little less than a month, but a month out from training camp. Not to wish away the month of July. I always caution folks who are excited about football season. I say, look, I get it. Let's also not wish away the rest of summer. But there's excitement. Obviously, it doesn't help with how the Orioles have played and continue to play. But, in a year where you have a new head coach, a new coaching staff, new uniforms, regardless of whether they're that different than the old ones. I mean, there's a lot of new, and there's excitement about that. And there was a lot of frustration last year, right? I mean, we talked about how the Ravens and the Orioles were quite closely aligned this last calendar year in terms of disappointment and perception of not playing up to ability and questions about coaching and all kinds of things. But I think the Max Crosby saga aside, really from that point forward, it was a quiet spring. And I think that's what they wanted, right? I don't think you want a brand new head coach making headlines or players talking about a brand new head coach making headlines, right? I think it was a harmonious, business-like spring. And that doesn't mean that they're going to win the Super Bowl. But you'll certainly take that over three players suffering season-ending injuries, some players not being happy or requesting trades, or I mean, look around the league. I mean, look at like the Brandon Ayuk saga that's going on right now with the 49ers and him talking about wanting to go to the Commanders. And like, there's nothing like that going on with the Ravens. And sometimes that's something that can be viewed as a minor win, right? That's something where you just say, look, it seems like guys are excited. Lamar Jackson was in the building most of the spring. There are very few question marks. I mean, they have question marks, and center's like a big one, and we'll continue to talk about that. But in terms of the guys that are on the team right now, it feels like it was the spring went about as well as you could reasonably hope a spring to go. Like it looked what you want it to look like. There weren't injuries and stuff like that. You didn't have holdouts or anything like that. I mean, the Lamar contract is a thing until it's not, but at least in terms of him being there, and it's not like he was absent all spring or anything like that. So I think from that standpoint, yeah, there's excitement. And I think there's still an acknowledgement that this team has a lot of talent. And yeah, they've got some areas where there are some question marks, but that's everyone in football. But when you have a elite franchise quarterback and you've got a handful of other players who are regarded as some of the very best at their position, expectations are high. We're going to see how Jesse Minter does. We're going to see how Declan Doyle does, right? We're going to there those are all fair questions. It's why I'm not sitting here saying book your tickets for the Super Bowl just yet, but there's optimism, there's excitement about this, and that's natural when you're talking about having a brand new head coach in place for the first time in 18 years.
Luke Jones is here. The Ravens will be there. Center is the first thing, right? I mean, that's the story until it's not, right? I mean, last year was offensive line. We had a few years where the secondary were issues. Clearly, years where Lamar, the question at the beginning was, you're going to turn the team over from Flacco to Lamar. So every year there's a theme about players. Ronnie Stanley was, one of those themes, and we'll get to the theme of the passing game and all of that, and the 29-year-old coordinator. But first things first, roster, we look at it and say glaring offensive line in a general sense and the center and how that's going to play a big weight in how good this team's going to be this year.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's two things, but that would be one. 1A is Madubuike. Like, just not until we have clarity on that one way or the other. And who knows? We might not get that even on like the first day of training camp. It doesn't mean we're going to have it then. But in terms of acquisitions, right, or potential acquisitions, you do look at center where you just say, like, is Danny Pinter really going to be that guy? Are they really going to consider Javon Gwynn? Are they really going to consider Corey Bullock? Or is that guy still out there somewhere else right now with another team or whatever? So yeah, it and look, they rotated the guys in the spring. It's exactly how you would expect it to go. And if you're asking me to handicap the incumbents in terms of who would be most likely, Pinter would be that guy. I don't think that's a surprise. I mean, he's the only one of those three names I mentioned that's actually played in the NFL, other than a handful of snaps, right? He's actually played. Now, he hasn't played a whole lot and hasn't been a starter a whole lot, but he's at least played. But all that being said, I mean, you're just talking about someone who has 10 career starts. You're talking about someone, there's been debates, whether he's better at center or guard, whatever. And you just, for me, it's not just center in isolation, but it's how it impacts the whole operation, right? Even go back to John Simpson when he was with the Ravens 3 years ago, right? He was a starter. He started every game. He played well enough, at least for the Jets to give him the contract that they gave him. But I think a big part of why John Simpson was regarded as good enough at that point in time was what? Tyler Linderbaum was the center, right? So for me, it's not just the center, it's how does that center impact the play of John Simpson? How does that center impact the play of Vango Ioane, who I think is going to be a heck of a player, and I think they're completely pleased with everything they saw from him this spring, but he is still a rookie, right? I mean, like, you don't, I think it would be unfair to just assume he's going to be Marshall Yanda from Jump Street, right? Like, that would be very unfair. Like, he's probably going to have at least, even if they're very tiny, he's probably going to have a couple little hiccups and a couple growing pains here and there. So again, whoever's playing center is going to impact him. And then you get out to the tackle spots. Ronnie Stanley's a year older, right? Roger Rosengarten's entering year three. I think this is the year where we find out,
Is he an ascending player,
is
right?
he going to be a guy that you're going to give a second contract to? Or is he a guy that's just, he's fine. And like,
And he's not their left tackle of the future. We've like right, you're
Yeah, I
right,
mean,
right?
I wouldn't think so. I mean,
Right.
look, not that those that cover the team are out there for every single rep of every single practice all year long. I'm not sure I've ever seen him work at left tackle, right? I
Right,
mean, like it,
right.
you think of guys of the past, like Michael Orr went back and forth, right? Patrick McCary, even years where McCary was starting some games, would go back and forth,
Well,
right?
even the thought that if Stanley were to be injured, that could be an option. It doesn't, he hasn't
Yeah,
even
I don't.
practiced there. So
Yeah, I'm and
in 2 years, not even a
right.
little bit or yeah. So
Right. I mean,
he's
like,
not, that's not realistic
it
right at
doesn't
this
seem
point.
that way, right? And maybe
And
that
that's all
changes.
Orlando Brown wanted to do was get to the other side,
Sure,
right?
sure. And maybe that change, maybe they would privately tell you, yeah, if Ronnie got hurt for,
Orlando
he's going to
Brown might
miss
have
it.
gone to the Hall of Fame as a right tackle, as a left tackle, he'd gone to the Hall of Rich.
Yeah, sure. Fair enough. I mean, that's a pretty appropriate way of describing it. But yeah, so for me, like, it's figuring that out and then figuring out how that's going to impact everything else, right? You're not going to have an all pro, right? You're not going to have someone that plays at the level of Linderbaum. The positive spin on it, and I'm not even saying like this is like spin, meaning it's not truthful or it doesn't have a chance to happen, but you're viewing your guards as being in much better spots than they were last year, right?
And you're
The,
also viewing it as we didn't give him $28 million.
of course, of
I mean,
course.
that was the same thing with Alec,
Right.
with J Ryan Jensen, and with the right tackle
Sure.
that went to Detroit. You know, when you don't give these guys that money, even Zeitler, I didn't even mean him. I meant the guy 10 years ago,
Rick Wagner.
Rick Wagner. Thank
Yeah.
you. You know, the guys that of that generation, there were two. We'll say generational sort of offensive lineman, but they got paid top of class. Now you throw Linderbaum on that. You let guys go. Stanley was the guy they kept here and paid, right?
Yeah.
And Marshall, you know, at the end, but you can't have it all. And they tried to have it all for a minute with Morgan Moses and Zeitler and a young Linderbaum. Like that was what was special for 3, 4 years ago.
Yeah. Well, and I'll throw out another name that you didn't even mention, but Kelechi Osemele. I mean,
Oh, sure.
look at that one. So, but yeah, I mean, it's you're talking about allocation of resources, right? I mean, in no way am I implying that the Ravens should have paid Tyler Linderbaum a dollar more than the Raiders did. No, not no. I wouldn't have even considered it. Now,
The offensive line would smell nice, but they were three players they couldn't
but
sign in the
right, exactly. I
offseason.
mean, there's always that, and there's always you have to value players a certain way. I mean, you just have to. Can you overvalue certain positions? Sure,
Dude,
from
you and I, nobody's
but
beaten DaCosta up more than you and me. Well, me for sure. Over the last 4 months, nobody would beat him up over the Linderbaum thing.
I
You
mean,
know what I mean?
my criticism of him with Linderbaum was a year ago, not
Well, I
what
also think
happened.
the criticism might be that he believed Linderbaum was going to come back. Like, I
Maybe.
think they believed that
Maybe.
week that was part of the Max Crosby thing was sort of like, okay, we're going to be able to do this and keep our center. And
I
then it didn't
don't.
happen. And then the money got weird on and the draft picks. Now we need that draft pick to get a lineman, offensive lineman. And
I'll
by the way,
be.
we haven't mentioned Matt Ibike either, but that'll be part two. But just of their question mark to say where's their money versus what their value is, they got exactly what they wanted at this point. They got Henderson a little less, Hendrickson, excuse me. They kept their draft pick, and now they've at least filled that hole in the offensive line with their next Marshall Yanda, and they feel better about that than they would have felt about giving Linderbaum the money and having Crosby and not having the draft pick, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to find out. I will say this. I'll push back a little bit on this. Just based on things I've heard, I don't think there was any expectation that Linderbaum was coming back.
Fair enough. Okay.
As it got
As it
to
got closer. Okay.
the last month or two, right?
Okay.
Based on certain things I've heard or gathered, and like, you know, I can't say that with 100% certainty, but I never got a sense that that was even remotely on the.
Okay,
It
so
sounded like he was gone.
the
Like.
fact that we're shining him up in the way we are, Linderbaum, I'm talking about, and the fact that he got so much money, and the fact that you and I have watched him play for a couple of years and we liked it, and it didn't feel to me watching the game, and I know the importance of a center. I mean, I'm the guy that when Matt Burke left, it fell apart, like all of that, right? It doesn't feel like a Hall of Fame center to me. It didn't feel Dermoni Dawson-ish to me. It
That's
did.
fine.
Now, if we're going to go play with Pinter, whoever we're going to play with, I'll feel it, I'll smell it. But they know more than me. And
Sure.
if Lamar needed him like a binky, they cut Derrick Henry and give him the money and get a different running back. If they felt that way, they felt like they could live without him. And as it got pricier, Eric decided we're going to go get a young guard and get that pick back and screw the Raiders. And, you know, like whatever that happened in that 5, 6, 8 day period of time there where they soured on Crosby and wanted the pick back and knew they were losing Linderbaum, like all of that, that are they as happy in this seat? And I would say Eric, who has no conscience at all about anything, friendship, relationships, media, right and wrong, integrity. I mean, Eric. Thumbs down on all of that. Eric DaCosta is not a man of integrity. I'll say that out loud, and I'll say that to his face, to his wife. Anybody wants to hear it, I'll say it out loud. But all that being said, as he wakes up today on his vacation and his yacht, wherever he's off having fun, I think he's sleeping better today. I think he's happier with the young guard, next year's draft pick. Crosby's pissed off at him, the Raiders. Who cares? Who cares? Trey Hendrickson looks good, fits the suit a little bit. Matt Ibike might be coming back. Now, in his mind, Matt Ibike, He knows whether Matabike is coming back or not, I guess, right? He or at least feels in
I
his
mean, has a
vibe
bet at least has a better idea than we
than
do,
we do,
sure.
right? So I think he's sleeping okay, knowing at the end of all of this, back on that decision day when they were giving Crosby the money and they were going to do all of this, and Linderbaum was gone, and to your you've interjected he was already gone, and that was part of it. No, I agree with that, with the money. You're right. I'm getting it wrong from a timeline of that week of the tampering period. Let's go back to the tampering
It's still
period.
a pro it's still a matter of allocating
I
resources, right?
well, right, and I think Eric wakes up today, and if he were still talking to me, because I'm such a bad guy, I treated him so bad. If he were still talking to me today, like he normally did for, the first 30 years we knew each other, he would admit to me over a coffee that he always admitted to me. I mean, our conver I felt like we had an honest relationship. We did not. But he would say, it's tough doing this and that, but in the end, I'm happy with where we are. Pinter will be okay, or we're going to get a center. But like, we don't have a lot of money into Max Crosby, and we were worried about his knee, wink, wink, or not. And Matabike was coming back, so that affected what we felt like we needed to do defensively. We still have our draft pick, and let's be honest, between you and me, Steve likes that concept that we still have our one next year in case Lamar breaks his leg and we have the fifth pick. So from an asset management, all that we're talking about, I think Eric DaCosta is pleased with all of this. In the I really do. And I think if the center's the only thing they're worried about, that's better than a lot of other alternatives, especially if Matabike is coming back. And I'm going to continue to go into that because I think that's a huge, what, number three in their payroll? Three, four, whatever it is, right? I mean, it's important that he comes back and plays or not, and whatever they're going to do with that. But as you and I sit here right now, I'm expecting him to play 13 games this year in some way. You know what I mean? Like, because I think they expect him to play.
We'll get to that, but
Is Eric happy with his moves? I guess that's what was my drop the mic. I think he's happy.
I
I think if Eric really would look at this and say, if all that we came out of this was without Crosby, with Hendrickson, with the picks, with Juwané, and the center being the thing we have to worry about, and not a $28 million deal for Linderbaum, then bet Eric can live with this, and I think he can.
agreed. However, you've got to play the games. Fiscal responsibility can't be your center.
Third and
You know what
eight.
I mean?
Yeah,
And
third and eight, the center's got a hole. Yeah.
that's where I look at it and say, look,
First and 10.
everything you just laid out has merit. I'm not disagreeing with you even, but just because you make a decision, a valuation of a player, your valuation doesn't align with reality of what that player ultimately gets. And again, this is not me saying they should have paid Tyler Linderbaum anything close to that, but you
But that
still have to
was an
replace
option
him.
for them, and they decided not
You
to.
still have
Yeah,
to
yeah,
replace him. You still have to
yeah.
replace him. And that's where I do look at this, and that's where I do look at the offensive line and say, all right, you've upgraded at guard. I think it's still TBD in the immediate future how much you've upgraded at guard, because again, look, Venga could end up being the next Marshall Yanda, but is he going to be that in 2026? We're going to find out, right? I mean, he's a rookie. We've seen rookies, not even players that end up being great players, they're not necessarily great as a rookie. So you have that. You have John Simpson, who, believe me, is I love him as a person. I think he's certainly there's merit to bringing him back into your room. But let's also not use revisionist history. He was very clearly the weak link of this offensive line 3 years ago when they were the best team in football in the regular season. So you do still look at it through the lens of understanding how problematic their offensive line was to their operation in 2025. And there's still an angst that I think is legitimate to say, did we just trade in our guard problems for a center problem that's going to be just as, if not possibly more prohibitive than
More
it
pro,
was
yeah.
last
Oh,
year?
yeah. I mean, the center thing to
I mean,
me,
it all
especially for
depends,
the
right?
quarterback,
But
right?
because it's all related. I mean, it's all related. But yes,
I mean,
because
cadence, line, noise,
it's
just,
all connected. It's connective
yeah.
tissue. Yeah. So that's where I do look at it from a football standpoint, and I think it's completely fair to ask that question. But if you are Eric DaCosta, you're looking at it in terms of allocation. of your resources. And you're also saying, well, we like Dwayne Ledford, our offensive line coach. We think that is a sizable upgrade for that specific position that we think he is going to help us. They've talked, I mean, it is unique territory when a general manager goes out of his way to talk about a position coach on the coaching staff, like Eric DaCosta did early on in free agency, right? That was something he went out of his way to talk about. And look, Dwayne Ledford is highly regarded. I'm not sitting here disputing that, but I think that really speaks to how important his job and how well he does is going to be, because it's not just center, it's having two new guards, new guards, new guys on this team. I mean, John Simpson was here 3 years ago, but he's back. And you've got a Ronnie Stanley who's a year older, and you're hoping he stays as healthy as he did the last couple of years, but we also know the injury history there. Rosengarten is the safest commodity you have, but you're hoping that there's another level he can hit, right? So, but there's also, okay, who's your backup left tackle, like you mentioned a few minutes ago? Who's going to be your swing tackle in general? Who are your depth pieces on the O-line if you have an injury or two, which, hey, it's football, right? So there are a lot of question marks there to be answered. And that's not to say that there aren't some answers on this roster already. And who's not to say that Dwayne Ledford's not going to identify someone that was previously a disappointment or an unknown, and suddenly they become a meaningful contributor? And who knows? Maybe one of these guys is going to be the starting center. I certainly, if I'm looking at it in terms of projecting where I think this team can go, I hope not, because if you're going to tell me right now that their starting center is already on their roster, I'm already kind of in the territory of that makes me question whether they can win a Super Bowl. I think they can get to the playoffs, but that's a big question for me, especially understanding how important that position is and how important that group is to keeping your franchise upright in number eight. So there's definitely a lot to sort out there. But to go back to your big picture point in terms of how the offseason played out and allocating your resources and paying Trey Hendrickson what you paid him, ultimately not doing the Crosby deal, ultimately not paying Linderbaum, right? You kind of go down the list of all the other moves they made, like Jaylen Hawkins, their number three safety. I think that, from Jump Street, I kind of said, to me, that was an underrated signing in terms of what I think Jesse Minter is going to want to do with this defense, with three safety looks and being able to deploy Hamilton, maybe moving Malachi Starks around a little bit more than they did last year. I mean, I think there's
Well, the
some things.
genius of Jesse Minter better have
Oh,
value,
yeah,
right?
no question. No question. And that's maybe where we transition into Matt Ebike. First of all, right off the bat,
I remember
is
the
he going to.
last genius around here was Billick, and the offense, it was supposed to be this thing.
Sure.
They have pieces though
Yeah.
defensively to be a top five unit. Would you agree? Or I don't. Maybe you don't
Yeah.
feel that way about Roquan Smith
I
anymore.
mean,
Maybe you don't feel that way
I
about
would say
Marlon Humphrey.
this.
I don't know.
I would say this. They have question marks, and you just named a couple of them. I would still say I look at their edge rush group, and obviously you love Hendrickson. That's the Captain Obvious statement, but is Mike Green really going to take the step that you need him to make? Is Zion Young really going to be ready to contribute as a rookie? Is there another level for Tavius Robinson to hit? Or, because you do have some cap space, is there a Jadeveon Clowney move to be made? And by the way, he's available. And I'm not just saying him specifically, but someone of that ilk to throw into the mix. And, look, I'm guilty of this sentiment in the past as well, but I'm not really worried about getting enough reps for the young guys, right? Make them earn it. If Mike Green is really that good and he's going to be that kind of player, he'll force his way onto the field, right? If Zion Young can be the game wrecker that the Ravens clearly, as excited as they were to be able to get him in the second round, then he'll show it, right? I don't like this idea of early draft picks being on scholarship that, well, we can't go bring in another veteran because, well, what does that mean for his workload?
And they've done that with second round picks historically around here. The kid from Florida State that played safety 20 years ago, and the linebacker, was it from UCLA, Arthur or whatever? Like some of these guys that from the minute they came in, you looked at them and said, second round draft pick, but getting them on the field. Different than like Rosengarten, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That like turned out to be something,
I
but I
mean, that was
think
kind of out of necessity. I mean, he was like, he needed to do that because
they didn't have
I
anybody else to
mean,
play. They
they
got
did
rid
have
of
McCarrie. I mean, I guess they had McCarrie, but McCarrie ended up having to play guard, right?
guard,
So
right?
yeah, but yeah, I mean, I guess that for me, the Matabike piece is still just so huge for that group's upside. You asked me if this could be a top five defense. If they have Nnamdi Matabike at least somewhere in the vicinity of the player he was pre-neck injury, then yeah, absolutely. Because you've got him rushing from the inside. You've got Calais Campbell, who isn't going to be a 50 snap a game kind of guy, but I think can still make an impact in a rotational kind of role. You've got Trey Hendrickson, obviously. I mean, that's why you paid him $100 million. So you've got some pieces there, and then you get to the second level of the defense. Okay, yeah, I have some questions about Roquan Smith at this point. I do. Like, I just do from a value standpoint. Not that he's like, oh, he's not a starting caliber player. No, nothing like that. But is he a $20+ million
And
linebacker?
also, is he going to get you beat being on the field?
Sure.
Maybe not.
Well,
I'm speed-wise, speed kills in this league, dude. Some
it
scat back
does.
comes out, eats him up. A tight end's got to step on him all day long. He's not a guy trying to get to the quarterback or going to get to the quarterback. Can he get to the Keaton Mitchell running away from him? Like that would be a terrible thing if he becomes something that other teams feel like they could expose
Well,
as
and
the old fart who can't do it anymore versus.
he's not old, but we've seen that over the last
I
year or
thought he was
two.
going to the Hall of Fame. They dealt the day they dealt for him, and he's very been very not a difference maker. Good player,
And
solid
he's
player,
good, yeah.
but
But yeah, I mean, I think
he brings that attitude, and he's a talker and this and all. Like I thought he might have more Ray Lewis in him, and I think he. I don't want to be disrespectful. I want to compare him to something, but he's not Ray Lewis. Let's start with that. Nobody
No,
is,
well.
but at least. That I don't notice him enough, and I haven't noticed him enough. I don't even in the
I
beginning.
mean,
I don't know. He's
oh, he
never.
I look, you know that I was not someone that rubber stamped the contract. You know,
Right.
like I
But we did
wasn't
love the
like,
trade. We love the
yeah,
trade.
no, I'm not, and
Yeah.
let me be clear, that wasn't me saying that it was a disaster or anything like that either. You just know how I felt from a positional value standpoint and all of
And
that.
if you're going to make the trade, you had to give them the money. Let's talk about that, right?
Sure.
So
Yeah. I
that's
mean,
part of it, right?
yeah. But, you know,
And
he's
the
20.
need at the time was acute. You would agree?
Yeah, sure. I
Okay.
mean, because Patrick Queen, you know,
Where else are you going to get a lottery pick when you're the Ravens and you got Lamar and you're making the playoffs every year? So to get that caliber of player was, and not a damaged version of him or a guy who had
he
off the field.
was,
He just
I mean,
played
he.
for a crappy organization. That's literally it, right?
Well, or, yeah, yes. But is it possible now that we're a few years into Roquan Smith here in Baltimore, is it possible some of the things that you were just saying about Roquan, maybe Chicago saw that and that's why they weren't worried about making sure he was the next Mike Singletary or Dick Butkus, right?
Right,
Meaning like,
right.
so I don't know. Again, I think part of this is also you're hoping the
Yeah,
Jesse Minter
Chicago looked like the
factor.
village idiots for getting rid of him, right? At that, we're like, why are they giving up on him? Well, I don't know. All this
But to
money
your
in and
point,
4 years in, Luke was more on point than Eric DaCosta was, I would say, in this particular case, because we're asking about him right now as is he a liability for the defense going into the year or is he not? I don't know. I hope he's not. If he's a liability, that's problematic.
I
And if
mean, I don't
Matabike
think,
is not going to play, that's problematic.
I mean, I think liability is too strong, but I think the point and the bigger problem for me is he's being paid like a star. Is he playing like a star? Right. And Marlon Humphrey's in that same exact conversation at this point, right? With what he's making and you know, the player he was last year. Now the player year before he was really, really good. So, but I think the Jesse Minter factor and, you know, not just him, but the entire coaching staff they brought in, there is some of that at work where you're hoping Roquan Smith looked really good when Mike McDonald was their defensive coordinator, right? When Roquan arrived midway through the 22 season, I mean, he was dynamic. And in 23, maybe he wasn't quite as dynamic as maybe he was over those final 8 games in 22, but he was absolutely a Pro Bowl inside linebacker, right? I mean, there's no question about that. I'm not, even me as someone who, at least questioned the contract a little bit at the time, I'm not going to sit here and diminish how good he was in 22 and 23. So the thought, as we've said all along with Jesse Minter, him kind of being the soft mulligan for Mike McDonald, right? For Mike McDonald leaving and going to Seattle and doing what he's done since then, winning a Super Bowl with the Seahawks. So the idea is, can Jesse Minter make these guys better? And maybe to this point, this is where I bring up the name that we haven't mentioned yet, who is their best player on defense. Is there another level for Kyle Hamilton? And I don't mean that necessarily in terms of saying Kyle Hamilton needs to play better. I mean that in terms of, is there another level in terms of how you deploy him and how you use him? And if we're going to talk it in terms of Jesse Minter being the superior defensive mind to Zach Orr and the coaching staff from last year, is there a way to deploy Kyle Hamilton? Are there ways? Not a way, because he's going to do a lot of different things. That's part of the talent and the beauty of Kyle Hamilton. But are there ways to deploy him to make him even a greater impact player, right? To make him even more dynamic, to get him in a position to get his hands on the football even more often, to get a couple more interceptions, to get a couple more sacks, to force a few more fumbles, right? The kind of things that are just chaotic, right? We've talked about this idea a lot. I mean, going back to Dean Pease being their defense coordinator, and there was a time when Wink Martindale took over where they were doing this a little bit more. And they've had their years where they've done it, but I will absolutely take the defense that has that dynamic factor in terms of splash plays with forcing turnovers, right? I will live with giving up some yards and giving up some first downs and even giving up a few more points here and there. Give me that defense that can be dynamic to turn the ball over and put my offense on the 15-yard line, right? To steal an extra possession or two. I mean, I will take that over the group that just is number one in total defense, but never turns the ball over, right? Never gets the ball for your team in plus territory. So, can there be some more of that? Well, I think, some of the guys we just mentioned, whether it's Matt Ibike being healthy up front, Trey Hendrickson coming off, rushing off the edge, Kyle Hamilton playing at mostly the second level, right? I mean, we expect he's going to be in that nickel spot. He's going to be in that dime linebacker spot way more than him being deep in a two deep, cover two alignment. So those are the ways that you kind of look at this defense and say, okay, one, it just needs to be better, period. I mean, it was bad last year, but can they be more consistent and can they be more dynamic? And I think that's where you're hoping Jesse Minter and Anthony Weaver. I want to give Weave his credit as well, but we know Minter's going to be calling the defense. So can it be more dynamic in that way? And yeah, you are looking for a better version of Roquan Smith. You better get a better version of Marlon Humphrey, right? Because we're talking about Marlon potentially being a cap casualty. And we're talking about him at the very least taking a pay cut. To this point, at least in anything that's been documented with the NFLPA or, because all that stuff comes out in terms of when you redo contracts. I mean, like that becomes record after a while. But to this point, I mean, they haven't done anything with Marlon's contract, which I've been very surprised by. So if they're not going to do anything with him, and if he is going to be on this team, which that's my assumption at this point, then can you get a more dynamic, better version of Marlon Humphrey again? As he look, he's in a contract year. He's got a lot to play for this year. So, yeah, to go back to your original question, do I think this can be a top five defense? Yeah, I'll say at the very least, it better be a top 10 defense at worst. If not, then that's where you go back to the offense with a lot of new moving parts, offensive line, health of your quarterback, Derrick Henry, another year older, right? I mean, all those things where, I kind of look at this, 2 years ago when they were setting all the records, with Lamar having an MVP-like season, even though Josh Allen technically won it. But, you could, they were able to survive the defense having hiccups and not being as good and all of that. But if Jesse Minter doesn't have this group playing at a really high level defensively, that's when I do have a little, not like grave concern. Let me be clear about that. But then I do start to question because, until I see who's playing center and until I see how that offensive line performs, until I see what the new tight ends look like behind Mark Andrews, who, look, Mark Andrews, like they need to bounce back from him.
Yeah, we haven't talked about
Like
him, right?
we
We talked
haven't
about
talked about him a whole
contracts and
lot at
money
all.
and Isaiah Likely, and they
Yeah.
drafted another per like
Point is,
I
there
have
are
he hasn't trended well in 2 years,
no,
really,
he
right?
hasn't. So point is that I'm making is there are a few more questions on offense than we're accustomed
Well, Derrick
to
Henry's age
seeing.
and Ronnie Stanley's
Yeah, I mean,
age,
it's just
and
look,
even Lamar's age, given the
just
running
coming off
part
of
of
an
his
injury.
game.
Yeah,
And the running
sure.
part of his game and what the strength of his game was 5 years ago and what it's going to need to be right here, right
And what it's
now.
going to look like in realistically speaking,
I
like,
wouldn't love the Ravens as much as I do to win the division if the other teams weren't so impotent, right? Like, I'm looking at the Ravens and thinking, I mean, they're gonna win double digit games because of their schedule, because of the strength of the, because of the, just
I
all,
mean,
there's a lot of reasons I think that they're going to excel this year. It's not because I think the old guys are like, if you start giving me Derrick Henry, Ronnie Stanley, Mark Andrews, Roquan Smith, Marlon Humphrey, I'll give you five reasons those won't be the reasons they win. I mean, I don't know what those five guys are, and they're all going to the Hall of really rich, and they've all made a lot of money, and Henry's going to the Hall of Fame. But what they are right here, right now, would be looking for you and me at Bassett, Eflin. I'm just trying to.
I mean, it's better than that, but I understand the point you're making. And
Guys on the back nine, or maybe the back two or three.
I think the better way to frame it more so than that
They're
would
not
be
on
to.
the. They're all way on the back nine. They're on the. All five of them are on the back of
So who
who
were the
trying to get
five?
1 year.
You were saying
Henry,
Henry,
Andrews,
Humphrey, Andrews.
Stanley on one side. All right, other
Okay.
side, Roquan and Humphrey,
Okay.
and Matt. Throw Matt Ibike in there too, young and all that.
Well,
But it's still a huge question mark, right,
until we
as to what
know.
we're going to get out of him. And then on top of that, what their draft picks. I'm talking about
I mean,
secondary
that's.
guys. I'm talking about the two secondary guys the last couple of years that they really need to step up and be, a Starks McCallis. They need to be elite. The back end needs to be elite here if you're going to go see Joe Burrow. I mean,
That's
it
fair.
does.
That's fair. But
Because we spent so much time talking about the pass rush,
so
and the back end's got to be automatic because we drafted for it, right?
yeah,
Literally.
I'll
Yeah.
frame what you just said about those five guys or that group of players like this. If you're needing all of those guys, or expecting all of those guys to play at their highest level at their respective stages of their career, I think that you're looking for trouble. I think if you have
Derrick Henry's got to
three,
play well, but so does Stanley.
I mean, Henry especially, yeah,
Stanley's got to play well. Henry's got to play well.
they need to be on the
Roquan
field.
can't be
Yeah.
a liability. And Marlon, I don't think they're counting. They're not worried. And Mark
But they
Andrews.
need Marlon to be decent at
Andrews has
least.
been a binky for Lamar from the beginning. So if he can't do those things anymore and
It just
be
puts a
that
lot
guy,
on, it puts a lot of pressure on Zay Flowers then, man. I
and it
mean
puts
it,
a lot of pressure on your 29-year-old play caller too. If he
no
can't,
question.
if the
So
tight end's not going to be what Kelce, what the Binky was for Brady, what just the Binky for the quarterback, and Binky meaning he's got to get the ball 70 to 90 times, and convert some third downs and catch the ball and be red hot and like all of those things that he was so good at for so long. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I mean, let's face it, the Andrews extension, I mean, I think it would be strong to say it was panned, but I think a lot of us really looked at that like, really? You know what I mean? Like, it was more confusing than anything else, I think. But yeah, you look at his numbers. I mean, he played 17 games last year, Nestor. He had 48 catches for 422 yards and five touchdowns. Now, he doesn't have to be a 1,000-yard tight end. Let me be clear. Like, you don't need to see the 2021 version of Mark Andrews, but what are you going to get from Hibner? What are you going to get from Quavis? The two tight ends they just drafted that are, and I get it. They have Durham Smythe as well, but he's more of a blocker. But they need Mark Andrews to be, if I'm looking at his career numbers, he needs to be somewhere in the neighborhood, let's say at least where he was in like 2020, which was 58 catches, 701 yards, seven touchdowns. If he's not at least somewhere in that neighborhood, man, unless one or two of these rookie wide tight end slash wide receivers that they just drafted, you know, that group of four, unless a couple of those guys are like, wow, like, man, they're really good as rookies, then boy, that really puts you in a position that, man, Zay Flowers is this entire passing game, which, don't get me wrong, I think very highly of Zay Flowers as a player. He's a number one receiver. Maybe he's not the conventional way that you thought about a number one receiver 5 years ago, but everything about him speaks to, other than got to hold on to the football. You know, the fumbles, you better cut that out. But everything else about his playmaking ability, I'll sign off on. But you don't want to be in a position where he's essentially what Mark Andrews was 6 or 7 years ago, which was the entire passing game, right? You don't want it to just be now, okay, it's not Mark Andrews anymore, but now it's Zay Flowers. You want some complementary pieces behind Zay. Like, Zay's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver if he's healthy. He's been that the last 2 years, but you need a couple other guys that are going to be 700 yards, right? Somewhere in that neighborhood. A couple guys that are going to be legitimate red zone threats for you, because that's not really, Zay's not going to catch a jump ball in the end zone, obviously. That's not what he's, his kind of vision of what you're going to make him to be. But yeah, there is a little more, what the heck are you going to get from Rashad Bateman this year? Like,
Well, we gotta
what
even
is
mention
he?
his name,
No,
right?
but I'm
So,
just,
like,
but someone had, like, someone's got to be a complimentary receiver for them. And if it's not Bateman, well, is it going to be Jacoby Lane? Is it going to be Surratt? Don't get me wrong, I think they're nice picks. I didn't disagree with those picks, but you're talking about third and fourth round guys. Man, if you're absolutely counting on them to be an important part of your passing game, boy, that's uncomfortable territory until they show they can do it. So the greater point we're making here, and this goes back to the defense, when you asked me about them being a top five defense, there are more question marks with their offense. And let me be clear, that doesn't mean I think the offense is going to be bad. Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, two names you can cite that tell you this offense will be good. But is it going to be great? Is it going to be consistent? Is it going to be elite? Man, there are a lot of other questions to sift through: center, O-line, wide receiver depth, tight end depth. So, and how about the fact, oh yeah, what do you have behind Derrick Henry if, heaven forbid, something happens to him, right? So they're but because, Justice Hill's another year older. Okay, you've got a couple young backs. Keaton Mitchell's not here anymore, so there's not that, at least perceived home run upside that he could provide, whether they really believed in that or not. So yeah, I think you want this defense to really be firing at a high level, because there are a couple more questions about this offense than in recent years. And that's the 29, the 30-year-old offensive coordinator they have, who has never called
He's
plays
30
before.
now?
He's 30 now.
All
Yeah.
right, we gotta stop. Okay, I
Yeah,
gotta
he's
stop.
30.
All
But
right, all right.
no,
Then I gotta
and let
stop
me be
calling.
clear. The couple press conferences and some of the mic'd up stuff that that the team website puts out, and how the players have talked about him, I think there are reasons to be excited about Declan Doyle. He could end up being a rock star that is a head coach 12 months from now. But it's a lot of new that you're navigating, and a lot of change that you're navigating on the offensive side of the ball. And yeah, Lamar is going to cover up for a lot of that, and Derrick Henry can cover up for a lot of that. But there's covering up, and then there's thriving. If this offense is going to thrive in 2026, yeah, they've got some questions that they're going to definitely have to find answers for, whether we're talking about during training camp or more realistically, the first 6 weeks or so of the regular season. Are any of these young guys ready to step up immediately, or will they be like a lot of mid-round picks where you kind of say, hey, might take them a year, right? I mean, Dennis Pitta wasn't, Todd Heap wasn't a rock star as a rookie. Dennis Pitta wasn't that as a rookie, right? I mean, Mark Andrews came on late in his rookie year, but that's a lot to try to, to try to figure out. So it's just a lot of new. And let me be clear, anyone who's listening right now, this is not Luke Jones saying that he doesn't think the Ravens are going to be very good. I think they're the best team in this division. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think Cincinnati I'm not a big believer in Pittsburgh. I'm just not at this point. I mean, we're going to see. Maybe Mike McCarthy has a renaissance, at his latest stop. But I think the Steelers are what the Steelers at best what they've been in recent years, which is, they can take advantage of the Ravens and the Bengals, are self-inflicted mistakes and all that. But I like this Ravens team, but I do. There's a lot of new to navigate here, and the few question marks that they have to me are significant enough where I am taking some pause before you just ask me, are they going to be a bona fide Super Bowl contender? I need to see some of these questions answered to a satisfactory level before I'm ready to sign off on that. But I still think they're going to be good. And I'll go back to my original point. I'll leave you with this as we were talking about being a month out from training camp. I am really interested. I think this is a really interesting, fascinating time to be a Ravens fan to see what this is going to look like, right? I mean, as much as it's easy to just kind of brush off John Harbaugh and how this era finished and,
Glad to get rid of him, whatever it
all
is.
that,
This is going to be different.
they won a lot of football games for a long time. And just because you hire a new guy doesn't mean that it's automatically going to be better. We're seeing
Well,
that right
with
now with Craig
Albernez,
Albernaz, right? So
I
we're going to find out. And
want my money back.
I will also say John Harbaugh and that coaching staff, they're gone. I'll also say the onus is on the players now. You guys better step up. Mark Andrews, John Harbaugh didn't coach you to fumble in Buffalo. John Harbaugh didn't coach Zay Flowers to fumble going across the goal line against Kansas City 2 years ago, right? So let's see. If the coaching staff was holding this group back, then let's see it, right? Let's see a dynamic coaching staff, and let's see players that are ready to rise to the occasion, not just in September, October, November, December, but ultimately in January. We're a long way off from that, but that work commences or it continues, resumes a month from now.
Here's Luke Jones. He will be at Oriole Park for a couple of days until the Orioles go out to Cincinnati and go westward. I will be at the Major League Baseball All-Star Game in 2 weeks. Luke's going to be on vacation, running around New Jersey with Joe Flacco, hopefully, and having some fun here. But it will be football season. We're a month out. I enjoyed the conversation to kind of reset things. We haven't talked about it in a couple of weeks. We might not talk about it much more for a couple more weeks. If there's any breaking news, you'll get it first on the WNST Tech Service. That's all brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Big thanks to all of our partners, including those who put us out on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. No full dates right now. There's a full schedule to be out for July and into August as I'm getting our Crab Cake Tour set. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with GBMC and Farnan and Dermer. They are the comfort guys. It's hot out. If you need them, they're there, 410-367-7777. One reach away, fast serves, especially on days like today when it's hot as Hades out there. We can only hope that the Orioles get as hot as they do. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.